Strap yourselves in, people. I'm going on tour for the first time ever, and I am so here for it, bringing our wild and wonderful Glad We Had This Chat podcast to a venue near you. Promising you an unforgettable night of unbridled honesty, unfiltered opinions, F-bombs and fearlessness, come join me and a stellar lineup of special guests as we talk all things skincare and beauty, along with frank discussions about life's adventures, challenges, highlights and joys, with exclusive on-stage skincare demos, entertaining Q&As and a healthy dose of unscripted hilarity. This is Caroline Hirons, me, live and apparently on steroids. It's happening. Get your tickets now at carolinehirons.com and secure your spot. Welcome to Glad We Had This Chat with me, Caroline Hirons. It's your one-stop shop for all things skincare, beauty and beyond. My guest this week began her journey in the modelling world, where she first developed her passion for beauty and individuality. She is now a Sunday Times bestseller and a standout voice in the beauty community who is praised by her loyal followers for her relatable, mad and inspiring content. Please welcome to the pod my mate Ruth Crilly. And before we do, you should know that we went off on a complete tangent and I have absolutely no idea how we made it through the hour. Enjoy.
Love Actually.
Oh, what the bother should I do? We're already rolling, babe.
Love Actually would be way up here in terms of Hallmark movies.
How dare you like Love Actually? You
prefer watch it till the cows come home.
Well, you already have. Who hasn't watched Love Actually 50 times? Even when it's on, I feel annoyed with myself that I'm watching it again.
Yeah, but you can't help it, can you?
Yeah, I'll happily turn it over. I'd turn it over for Nobody Wants This.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, I would.
No.
Yes, I would. I'd turn it over for Darling Buds and May. I would turn it over for Law and Order and Poirot and Miss Marple.
Yeah, but you're comparing apples and pears. Aren't you?
Well, whereas you're just hating oranges. Everything that's joyful. So what's your favourite TV show then? Hi, everyone. Ruth's on the pod this week.
Hi. Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, obviously. Oy vey.
Dexter.
Yeah, I didn't do Dexter. I should, because everyone I know loves Dexter.
Mr. In Between.
What the fuck is that?
Oh.
Here we go. Well, this could be an hour-long podcast
about
Netflix.
About an Australian hitman.
Oh, it's what is it with you and hitmen?
It's just something about them.
But you're not cynical about that, no?
No, right, so it's dark. Oh, it's really dark comedy. It's so funny. You'll love it.
Who's in
it? It's really
someone that irritates
just
me.
Just one man. This bald man. Can't remember his name, sorry. He was in something else called...
Who's Mr. In Between? Anyone know?
Can somebody Google?
Yeah. It's clearly really popular.
You won't know his name.
But what's it on?
It's niche. It's brilliant.
Scott Ryan.
No clue.
It's proper Australian humour.
Is he a hot rabbi?
No.
Then I'm not interested.
No. You'll like it. I tell you what, when you watch it this weekend and you message me,
okay.
I want you to edit this podcast.
I will, I'll put Disney. Okay.
Yeah, it's so not Disney. I mean, it's on Disney, apparently.
So
it's
Kardashians.
Not.
That's not exactly little girl content, is
no,
it?
No, that's true. Yeah.
Let me just ask Ruth how not to be a supermodel, Crilly. When did you become a cold hearted, cynical bitch? We have this conversation every time.
25 years ago.
Here's my theory, right? Yeah. My theory is that you and Rich have this pathological need, psychotic need, to dislike anything that's popular.
No.
Yes, you do.
Honestly.
Right, what's the last show you really liked that isn't 25 years old? See?
No, hold on.
No, go on. Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Monsters.
You've had that. That irritated me. I had to turn it off.
Why?
Because I think they're guilty as shit.
Oh, this is controversial.
No, it's not. Everyone I know in LA says guilty as sin. They're after
the money. I didn't even realise it was a true thing until halfway through.
Oh, God,
which way
you
know this
so
is
much.
True?
I can't.
Right. So,
how did you not know it was true?
Because I don't like to read around the subject. Where I like
this
to go in cold.
This is why you know that there was that time right where we were big in the blogging world when that used to exist, like Blogspot.
Do you mean when?
Okay, blogging world.
Substack bestseller.
Yeah, I'm talking about blogspot.co.uk, right?
Yeah, okay.
And when people said, would you two do Celebrity Gogglebox? This is why we could never do it, because you don't like to know anything and I have to IMDb everything.
But that's why it'd be brilliant.
I'd get really annoyed and go, I know the end now, I don't want to watch it.
Yeah, but I bet you watch on your phone the whole time. I bet you watch TV with your phone in your hand,
course,
don't you?
And my
iPad. We leave ours in a separate room. We properly engage with what we're watching.
Sorry.
Do you, though? Do you watch with your phone in your hand?
Yeah.
And I bet you're doing other things at the same time.
Yeah. I didn't.
I'm not going to listen to your ratings on things.
I didn't with Nobody Wants This because I was engrossed.
Right, to be fair, I've only done three of them. Maybe it gets better. The Kiss, though, everyone was like, oh my God, The Kiss made me go funny inside. And I was thinking...
Oh, it didn't make me go funny inside.
You have not had...
Not you had a snog.
You know.
You haven't had a model photographer snog, like you have clearly.
I never look at you two like that. It's so weird.
No, that's because we know there's no public display of affection whatsoever.
You don't even acknowledge each other in public.
I would.
Rich wouldn't.
No.
Do you know what we should do at Christmas? Yeah. Right, we should. I'll be filming it. No, you should I'll hold the mistletoe. We'll make him really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Or you should just walk up and try and hold hands with him and see how he jumps. Like literally, just try and link.
He would just look at him. What are you doing? It would be, you know, if you went up to someone and sort of put an orange in their hand or something, and they would look at you like, "What the hell are you doing?
What are you doing?"
That is the look that I would get. So Monsters really enjoyed.
I got to like episode 6, 7. I got sick of and whinging.
Perfect Couple.
What's that? Oh, that really annoyed me.
I enjoyed that though
because it had Liev Schreiber in it. That's why. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry. Was that a guttural? You right there,
Ray Donovan?
All day
His
long.
Face has got rounder and rounder, hasn't
chipmunk.
It?
Chipmunk.
He was like a chipmunk, but still.
You were about to say still I would then. And you paused thinking we were on something like How to Fail or something really high end or Table Manners.
Lenny
and Jesse were sitting there and then you went, oh, I would.
I'm going to have to remember that we're not actually on our own.
They already know you, love. That jig is up. I wouldn't worry. So, Ruth, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Got anything to promote?
Hold on, let me rack my brain. Just the book.
Sorry, are you a Sunday Times best-selling author?
I don't know. Let me just check. Oh, yes, I am, Caroline. Yes, I am. Instant Sunday Times bestseller.
Well done, mate.
Your favourite book of the year?
My favourite book of the year.
Apart from the Lisa Marie Presley.
Now I'm reading Riley Keough, and I'm not going to lie, she's Pipchitch number one, because it's very, very, I can't put it down. Yours I put down when I got to bits on you.
Right, can we cut that bit out, please? Because we need the full endorsement.
It will be a full endorsement.
I bet you read Anne with your phone in your hand as well.
No, I didn't, because you didn't give me a light book. It's a heavy one, and you gave me like a proof, and it weighs 4 pounds, so I had to hold it with both hands. And you wrote a lovely note in it that said, "I hope you love this as much as I love you." And I just thought, you liar.
I know. As I wrote it, I was like, oh, you know, when you get halfway through and you can't think of something good to say, and also the pen
Cheers,
was
mate.
The pen. Well, no, I didn't want it to be soppy. And I didn't want it to be offensive. Right?
Why? That's how we communicate.
I didn't know whether it would be lost. If it's a signing of something that's supposed to be special, I didn't know whether it would be sort of...
It wasn't even the real book.
I know.
How special was it?
Lost
it wasn't even finished.
They made me do it. They made me sign all of those proof copies. And the pen was massive. And that really put me off my stride. Honestly, every single book I signed of those proof copies...
I
wrote
know who else you sent them to. Sally. Catelyn Moran, obviously, because she got the cover quote.
Paperback.
Always time for the paperback, folks. Yeah. Always time for the paperback.
And they sell more, don't they?
Yeah.
Paperback. So, you know.
Also easier to hold when your mate gives you one and you can't hold it in bed because it's fucking heavy.
Also, you're all over the audiobook.
I am all over the audiobook. They didn't really know what to expect when we sat down to record the audiobook. There was like, okay, we're ready to start. We're like, well, we've been talking for 25 minutes. I don't know what you've been recording.
I feel as though they were slightly...
terrified.
Overwhelmed.
I don't know why. I was surprised... that this came out before your novel, because you wrote a novel ages ago and you're trying to get it published. And I think I was like, well, it's because they think you're a blonde model.
Yeah.
Like Dolly Parton says, I'm not dumb and I'm certainly not blonde. Right. Mm. So what happened? How did you get it to here?
I'd written a novel.
Because you is quite clever, isn't it? How many uni degree things have you got? That kind of education level?
I don't know. Is that an indication of...
In your case, no, but it's quite impressive for people at home.
I have zero common sense. I'd say I'm pretty street smart. I mean, I've been around and around the world.
Right, love. Don't slag yourself off.
I don't have any common sense. What were you talking about?
Book. Right, so education, book and things.
At the end of my modelling career.
Which was when?
Sort of tapering off 2009, 2010.
Just as I met you. Clearly you thought there are better things ahead for me.
I met you and I thought, I've got no chance now. I may as well give up. Okay, now. So that was all tapering off. And I had done, while I was modelling, I'd done a load of open university courses, creative writing.
As one does.
And a degree, a literature degree.
See, I wasn't lying.
First class honours. Then I went back and I did some journalism stuff and some more creative writing stuff. And then as my modelling career was petering out and I was thinking, shit, what? And Rich was saying... Are you planning on having another job at all in your adult life?
No, he can take care of you.
Is this it? I was thinking, God, you know, all I want to do is write. Mm-hmm. But how, you know, in those days, it wasn't as though you could go online and there were a million other people saying, this is how I got my book deal. No. Or, you know, go get it, queen, you can do it. It just wasn't like that. That's
is
a
that
new
what
thing.
They do now?
Yeah.
Go get it, queen.
I mean, virtually, isn't it? It's that thing of everyone can be a winner. There wasn't anyone out there saying, you know, you can go and you go
you
and
can
do
write
it,
a book.
You
yeah.
know. And so I started a master's in creative writing at Royal Holloway. Or was it English? Something like that. Anyway, it was stuff.
Something highfalutin.
Yeah. And as I was doing that, I started the blog. But I was writing a novel then.
Mm.
In a way, I feel like if I had gone with that literary agent before the whole blog thing had ever happened, that would have happened. That could have happened then. But then when I started sending it out through different literary agent, when I had the huge blog following, everybody loved it, but they all said, we want you to write something that harnesses your audience. Why can't you write about lipstick? So many people, quite literally, that's what it said in the email back. Love your writing. It's perfect. It's the most polished manuscript we've seen in years. It's perfect. But you need to do something
about lipstick
that your audience will relate to.
As if women wouldn't relate to a novel. Oh, don't.
But they want, you know, the salespeople who seem to be more in control of it than people that actually do the editorial side of it, you know, they've got to see where they're going to sell it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know all this from doing your book.
Plural.
Sorry, yeah. They've all got the same title, though.
Books.
Oh, sorry,
no, they haven't,
the
actually. Thank you, best mate. Jesus Christ.
Anyway, so yeah.
Anyway.
This came first. And because I really, really wanted to write fiction, all I ever wanted to write was fiction, when they started saying non-fiction, I was like, oh, no. Because the least interesting person, I think, is myself.
Yeah.
But actually, when I started writing the stories about things that happened, I quite liked the structure of having to keep to the truth. So it gives you these quite handy boundaries. So you know how you have to structure a chapter because that's what happened. But it's still, you know, it's still allowed for this huge breadth of creative interpretation of things that had happened.
Yeah, because it's not like you just sort of, you didn't sort of just record it into a voice note and then just have it transcribed, because it's, you set the scene.
It's like, not your typical
memoir. It's like you talking.
Yeah.
Which is very entertaining.
And it's stories, you know, it reads a little bit like fiction. You could take me out of it and put in anyone else and it would not matter who it happened to.
And also it's broken up in a way that makes it easy to read. It's not like some kind of long, you know, Moby Dick where you're like, Jesus, make this end.
It's not too self-centred.
There are a few things in life that just keep on giving for $3.99 a month. A floppy fuel station sarnie, one small cup of bougie overpriced coffee. I don't think so. Or for the same price, you could be getting a month's worth of skincare insights and know-how from yours truly. A wealth of fresh, expertly written articles on all things skincare and beauty. From our free to download version for essential educational content to our elevated premium experience, the SkinRocks app will revolutionize how you shop and learn about skincare. Whether you're a novice building your first routine, an aficionado wanting deep scientific expertise, or someone looking for the inside scoop on beauty newness, it's all in one pocket-friendly place on the SkinRocks app. With simple-to-use functions that let you filter for your personal profile, save your favorite content, and explore a vast product library with ease, it's no wonder it's called the Google of skincare. Unlock a world of incredible premium content for just $3.99 a month, $34.99 a year, or get a special discount via the podcast with code CHPOD to get £10 off your annual subscription. Congratulations, you are now a Sunday Times bestseller. Your book is entitled How Not to Be a Supermodel. Very apt, knowing you, I must say. Do you think you're going to get this made into a mini-series? Is it going to be like Rivals Part 2?
Oh, can you imagine?
I can see Jackie Collins written all over it.
Yeah, it would be so good.
It would be very funny. I mean, we'd have to find a red fur, number one.
Do you know, I went on eBay and Vinted the other day looking for that coat.
Who made it again?
Ghost.
Oh.
I'd love to buy that back.
You'll just have to read the story, guys. It's very entertaining.
It's just a succession of bad decisions.
Bad decisions.
And I think I've got that thing. Is it sunk cost fallacy? Have you heard of this? Is it called sunk cost fallacy? Oh my God, have I just made up this entire phrase? Also sounds like phallus, so I'm really worried.
Oh, for God's sake.
So you get three quarters of the way through a really bad film and you think, well, I may as well finish
it. Oh, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. Got it.
Rather than just letting...
I did that with cooking. I'm like, well, I've made it now. I might as well finish making it.
Exactly. So this is the thing with a lot of my decisions. This is what I struggle with. I think I've started it now and I've sort of need to go on with it, you know. Like the other week I was trying on this ring that I knew did not go on this finger, will not go on, has never been able to go on it. And I thought, I'll just see if I can get it on this time. It was on for a week, just couldn't get it off. And it was massive. It was this vintage Bulgari ring that I never wear because it's ridiculous. It looks like I'm sort of some oil baron's wife. And because it's so massive and it's just got diamonds all over, it's ridiculous. I can't put my fingers together.
Nice.
So I spent a week cleansing my face like this, not being able to hold anything because my hand was stuck like this.
How did this affect you when you were modelling?
This is what the book's about. It's the fact that I would make a split second decision. I'd think, no, I won't get the cab. I'll just get on the metro in Paris. And then I'd end up getting lost on the metro. I'd be late.
Or maybe getting on an airplane and going on holiday with a complete stranger.
Right, I know you've got a big problem with this.
I've really got a big problem with
this. So there's a chapter in the book where I went on a 5-day luxury holiday with a man.
This is really good, you're going to love this.
Now, the thing about it was, I'd met him a couple of times before, but he lied and said that all the people that we knew in New York were going to be there. Mm-hmm. Let's call the place Morocco. I've changed a couple of things because it's not even about being sued. I think he had quite a powerful dad and I just don't want to get killed. So I had said, look, everyone else is coming, aren't they? He was like, yeah. Bought my ticket, landed in Morocco. I text all the people that I knew on the way to say, see you there. And then as I landed and turned on my phone, all these messages came through saying, see you where? Got out, it's just this guy. And I said, where's everyone else? And he was sort of like, oh, they'll be coming.
Now, they didn't at come. That point,
yeah,
was there not a matador in front of you with a big red flag?
Right, so first of all, I was very used to going all around the world and just being met by a random guy and then being driven somewhere. So that wasn't
concerning.
That scary.
Your poor mother, but okay.
She just didn't know. Secondly, I did genuinely think that they were all going to turn up. It wasn't until about one or two nights in when I thought, they're not coming, aren't they? I mean, they're just...
But their text to you saying we're not coming didn't also raise a red flag.
Some of them didn't text back.
Which is also not a red flag. Okay, you're clinging on for hope at this point that you're not about to be murdered, like taken.
I told you about his girlfriend that didn't speak as well, didn't I?
Yes, I did, because she didn't have permission to speak.
So I'd always thought that he was slightly strange, because a couple of times I'd met him, he had this girlfriend, she was a very young model, and she didn't speak or respond to anything, and so I thought that she couldn't hear or speak. Turns out, when I said, how's your girlfriend? And he said, oh, we're no longer together. And I said, oh, you know, it must have been quite hard with her not being able to hear or speak.
Being deaf and mute.
Yeah.
But she wasn't.
No.
Deaf.
He said, no,
nor was
no.
She mute.
I just don't think that he ever let her speak. So anyway, he's massively rich, this guy. He's got a yacht, jet skis, knows how to use the right knife and fork for everything. I'm from Redditch. I had been working in McDonald's until about, you know, a few years before that. Drive a Metro GTI. Have no clue, didn't grow up with any money. I managed to wear the wrong outfit to every single thing we go to. Oh,
shocking. Knowing you as well as I do, I find that utterly shocking. But do carry on.
It was so bad. So I end up on this holiday. To be fair to him, doesn't try it on at all. Not really. But then he says, we're going to fly to Libya today on a little extra trip on a private island. I can't remember whether it was Libya. I'm sort of changing things around a bit. I thought, okay, this is getting weird.
Didn't have a friend called Epstein, did he? I just want to check. There was like...
No, it wasn't that kind of island. There was actually nobody on this island.
Okay, great. Even better.
That night, on the last night, he did try and crawl in with me. I didn't put that in the book. My editor said, you know what, Ruth, this gets a bit too dark, so let's leave this bit out.
Your friends were already having panic attacks. Your mother's crying.
Thing is, I'd already seen his willy. He had his feet up on the coffee table and we were chatting over breakfast. You know when someone shorts, in the gap, and it was just all little and coiled, like,
oh,
you know, right? Oh. It was really small.
Oh, no. And that's when you don't want to find out if he's a grower, not a shower.
I didn't want to find out anyway. He was actually quite a good-looking guy.
Oh,
he was very groomed, put together. I mean, anyone would have thought eligible, right?
No.
Massively rich.
But you left all of this out of the book.
I did. There were part I left so much out of the book. The book was about half as long again, but I was only allowed 90,000 words, so I had to chop a lot of it. But when he when he crawled into the bed with me...
Well, wait, where were you sleeping? Where was he sleeping?
I was in my own room.
And he came into your room?
He crawled in.
No.
Got in behind me.
No.
I have never planked so hard in my life. If you had been able to get a crowbar into my buttocks, you couldn't have got a Rizzler paper in there. I was clenched as tight as a clam.
He's trying to spoon and you're like, this is absolutely not going to happen.
It was after the horse riding incident.
Oh, Jesus
Christ.
So
I had loads of pinpricks all over me because I went bareback horse riding. And I had these jeans on that had, they were all ripped, right? Oh my God, they were so hideous. And they had about 1,000 tiny golden safety pins all the way up the inside.
And you put the, your legs on a horse while you were wearing them?
I wore those.
With a poor horse?
No saddle. Because
but
I said,
horse.
Yeah, I've done bareback riding
But the
before.
Poor horse with the safety pins, Ruth.
That's maybe why he galloped along the beach. Maybe one popped open.
Oh,
anyway,
Jesus
by the time I got
Christ.
Off, they'd all just gone ping, 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 ping. They had all stuck into my legs. So when he crawled in and tried to do this, whatever, I don't know what he was really trying to do, spoon.
But how'd you get out of that?
I just planked.
I've been in that situation where someone has crawled into a bed next to me and I've gone, oh, this is abs. Not my husband, obviously, pre my husband.
I've done it with Rich.
I'll do it now, but no. And I've been like, oh, this is absolutely not going to happen. Thank God I was in pyjamas, though. And you went home after that, yes? Can we just
This was the last day. He sort of slunk off, and that was fine.
Gave it
there
up.
There wasn't... I mean, how lucky is that, though? That it could have been very different,
it could have been
it?
Very different, which is why when I read it, I was like, how has she
there's a whole
told me this
There's a whole chop...
There's a whole chopter.
There's a chopter called Ways I Could Have Died. Because when I was writing it, I was thinking, how did I not die then?
Yeah.
How did I live through that one?
Yeah. And people wonder why a book about not being a supermodel would be interesting. How was the process for Rich when he read the chapter about him, which I read first, obviously?
It's the only time I've seen him cry. And I only
saw
him...
Okay, I find that really weird that you don't see Rich cry. He's not a crier.
He's not crying.
Not when you had kids?
Nope. Yeah, but I was off my tits on whatever
so
they
you wouldn't
put
know
into
anyway.
You, so
yeah,
I,
fair enough.
I have no idea.
But it's not even that soppy. The last couple of lines you write are soppy, but in a lovely way.
Do you think, though, that reading two chapters of a book that directly talk about you through the eyes of somebody you love and that you know loves you must be quite... When I was writing, I was thinking, this will be quite a weird thing to read,
yeah,
in a way.
Yeah, maybe.
Because you relive all of those memories, don't you?
Yeah.
And there's so much sort of heart that's gone into it to remembering and knowing the way that someone remembers something as well.
So for context, for those who don't know and have not got your book, you met Rich on the job because he's a photographer.
Yes. He shot my first ever pictures. We didn't get together then.
No.
Took years and years of dicking around.
Well, mainly really. You dicking him around, really.
Yes.
Yeah, fair enough.
And
how many years ago?
That would have been 24 years ago.
And how many children?
No, 23 years ago.
And how many children?
Two children.
And how old?
9 and 7.
Who'd have thought?
I know.
Camo Rich. What was the strangest transition from both working as like photographer model to then giving up and doing blogging and writing and then becoming parents? That journey must be quite weird.
I don't know. It does. It all melds into one.
It's just what you do, isn't it? It's
well, because we've always... been at home together full time.
Yeah. Would make a lot of people split up.
Oh, I mean, the amount of time, that's why we've always said our house is the most important thing to us.
Mm.
And we would spend money on nothing else so long as we spent it all on the house because we spend all our time at home.
In the house, yeah.
And so in a way, the house
is lovely
been,
though.
Yeah. Yeah, we just sort of pootle around and get on really well. But because of that, I think there wasn't any transition. We just... spent a lot of time together with no free time. I mean, with all free time,
yeah.
I suppose. And now we spend a lot of time together with no real
with absolutely free no
time.
Free time.
And you do start to feel like, we always joke that it's a bit like being, you know, managers at the Ritz or something, that you're looking after these two really high profile, really demanding guests. and you're just sort of swapping over. Rich is there with an apple sliced perfectly so that, you know, one of them will eat it. And I'm going the other way with something else, warmed milk or whatever, for table three. And you're thinking, how did we get here?
Yeah.
But in a way, it doesn't feel, I suppose because it's been so gradual, it doesn't really feel that different. And because I'm always shooting mad shit, let's face it, at home.
I mean, did he know he was going to have a second career shooting you doing like ads for Sky where you're hanging out the roof at 11 p.m. pretending to be a beetle?
Do you know what? A lot of the time he doesn't get involved. So I set up the tripod because my thing is, I don't know whether this happens with Jim. Does your voice change when you talk to Jim? Yeah.
Obviously. Usually like, oh, what?
So I hear my voice change. Oh, yeah, it's a different, it's a one that is only for them, isn't it? Not in that way. I find that if he's recording, I don't...
You turn into a model photographer, Sitch.
Yeah, it's just, I can't do it.
You can't be as goofy.
And also, what I don't want to happen is sometimes, most of the time, I don't even tell him the ideas that I've got now, because I don't want him to do the face where he does the eyebrow.
Really?
And
is that a good idea?
Because then I think, oh, maybe it is a bad idea.
It's the most ridiculous thing you've ever done.
The giant poo coming out of the colon. Remember that one? I feel like we need to link to that.
We'll link to it, don't worry.
I had to do a Sky job, and it was for MC Grammar. Have you heard of him? Oh, my God, he's amazing. It's this guy who raps kids' books.
Right, that would be why
he was a teacher. And now, you know, Sky, I think, bought his entire catalogue of videos. But he'd done one about the digestive system, and it was how to teach kids about the digestive system. And Sky said to me, or my agency, can Ruth do something about rapping? And she can choose volcanoes, digestive system. So I sent back my creative and said, can I dress as a giant poo? I bought a brown sleeping bag and I just had my face poking out of it like this with the thing tight. And I'm going to make a kid's tunnel. You know those play tunnels? I'm going to wrap it in red. It's going to be a colon, a rectum. And I'm going to emerge from it rapping. They went, yeah, right then. Yeah. I learned the rap. I lip synced. That was the hardest part. But apparently they still use it internally.
No pun intended.
I mean, I don't think it's like an example of best practice, but they use it just to show what can be done.
To show what can be done.
The world's your oyster, guys. Look at what you could be doing.
Model to poo.
Here we are, folks. The most insanely efficacious, sensorial, luxurious cleansing balm in the world has landed. I don't need to tell you what it takes to put my name to a cleansing balm, and this one had one mother of a brief. The Skin Rocks Cleansing Balm is the best balm ever created, and one I would choose every single time over anything I've ever used. 5 roller coaster years of fearless ambition, sky-high expectation, tears, triumphs, and F-bombs. No pressure then, but what a result. Undoubtedly my most anticipated product, this was by far the hardest to make. The texture and crunch that took 4 years to perfect, its ability to decimate literally everything on your face, the R in a jar scent, the paperweight heavy hot pink glass, I mean literally everything I adore in a cleanser has been distilled into one glorious jar and it is absolutely spectacular. Transforming from a solid balm to a rich replenishing oil, this barrier nourishing balm is formulated with the same innovative lipid advanced complex as the support oil to deliver supreme skin barrier support and help improve skin firmness, elasticity and hydration. There is simply nothing like it. It's £55, it's ready and waiting, and there is no dupe.
I'm trying to remember how we met because I know people are going to, they ask, and how did we meet?
I can't remember. It's obviously amazing, wasn't it?
It was obviously mind-blowing.
You were beauty mouth.
I was beauty mouth. I was mother's mouth, then beauty mouth.
Were you?
Yeah, but then I quickly realised the kids would not let me publish any of the stories that I wanted to because they'd be embarrassed. And I thought, fair enough. So I changed it to
God,
beauty mouth.
Oh my God, you were a mumfluencer before
no,
it
no,
existed.
No. I'd only posted like 3 times before I thought, this isn't going to fly. They're not going to let me do this.
Yeah.
Thank God I did because there's no way I could have published any of the stories about Ava.
No.
Where did we meet? Must have been a blogging event, or I think we were, there was about 10 of us maybe that we were all invited to all the same things.
It was the days of the OG bloggers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There were very, very few of us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was like Jane Cunningham.
Jane Cunningham, British beauty blogger, London makeup
Grace,
girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sam and Nick, Pixie Woo, London beauty queen.
Yeah.
A model recommends. I became CarolineHirons.com a couple of years in. Yeah, there was Louise, Get Lippy.
Yeah.
Helen, Just Nice Things. Like proper old school beauty bloggers. I mean, we're talking nearly 15 years ago. And we would all just be going to the same things.
We'd always be at the
same
events.
And then you bought, I did the Give and Make Up charitable initiative. And I remember you bringing a load of product to where I was working in North Audley Street.
Yes.
Because we all had jobs. We were all working. Yeah. None of us were doing it for, like, you know, as a living.
I can't remember a time when I didn't know you. This is the problem.
In the blogging world.
Yeah. So the blogging world was really small.
Yeah.
A couple of dozen of us, really.
Yeah, at the most.
Doing beauty. So we met through that.
Yeah.
And then we just had a laugh, didn't we?
Yeah. And then just started hanging out. And then you helped me film my first YouTube video, which we'll get into.
That's right.
Which I was very, very nervous on.
That's right.
Very
I remember
nervous.
Now.
Yeah.
Did we do it in someone's flat that we borrowed?
We did it in Susie's flat that we borrowed because I was working out of that Notting Hill office at the time. Yeah, there you go. Well, there you go. And here we are all these years later, still that making absolutely no sense whatsoever. Right, let's do some skincare. Otherwise, I'm in trouble. Biggest beauty or skincare disaster?
When I was in Germany once, the makeup artist said, I need to bleach your eyebrows off. And I said no. Do you remember there was that real trend? Mm-hmm. And then everyone looked like aliens and you sort of have this eyebrow bone hump rather than an eyebrow. I said absolutely not. Anyway, ended up pressure from the people on the crew and the photographer. I let them do it. And then just before I went home, this is in the book actually, they dyed them back in my natural colour. And it dyed every single tiny hair around the eyebrow as well. So I had these big rectangle things. I didn't even notice till I got to the airport. That was pretty bad. I think all of my biggest beauty disasters have been at the hands of other people.
People doing things to you as a model, like haircuts.
I think it made me actually more safe and more cautious with my skincare because I'd had things happen to
like
me.
The nice dodgy haircuts.
Got so many dodgy haircuts.
Okay. What's your current skincare routine, Ruth?
Current skincare routine is, I know this always really winds you up, but I never do a proper cleanse in the morning.
I don't care if you don't do a proper cleanse. As long as you've taken it off at night.
Yes. I do my big cleanse at night.
Yes.
And do you know what I do? And you probably won't like this, but the flannel that is still damp and smells lovely from the night before, mm-hmm. I do a cursory. I just can't stand running water on my face in the morning.
Okay.
I don't like it. So I do a cursory thing over with that. Then I do a gentle exfoliant wipe over.
What kind of gentle exfoliant, please, today?
Acid. I've got yours on the go at the moment.
Oh, thanks very much.
Very lovely. I used to be into the whole really glycolic peel things, right? Like the peel pads and stuff like that. Now I'm just like, no, let's keep the face on an even keel. I don't want downtime. I don't want dryness, flakiness. I don't want to have to purge it and see it through. I just want my skin to feel strong, healthy, and sort of resilient. So I'm finding that these gentle acids, oh my God, so much better, little and often, rather than these huge peels.
Yeah.
I feel like there was a real thing for them, wasn't there?
Yeah,
massively. And now it's like no one's got any skin barrier left.
Mm.
So I do gentle exfoliant, antioxidant, and then in with my moisturiser / SPF. Normally is one product because...
At nighttime, lazy. When you wash your face.
Mega Cleanse. LED face mask. Well into it.
Nice. Which one do you use?
The Current Body.
Right.
Disclaimer, add current brand partner.
But you didn't have to mention them in this.
I didn't have to mention them, no. So no obligation to post. But you asked me what brand. I wasn't going to say what brand. And then I was like...
Yeah, of course. People want to know. We'll just put a little disclaimer across the bottom. It'll be absolutely fine.
The red light one only. Mm-hmm. Now, when I first had that, I thought, people have gone mad with these gadgets. There's no way any of them work. It's just another way of making people spend money. I am the biggest convert. And
good.
Yeah. Love them. I love the relaxation of the sort of feeling like you're... kind of on the beach, but not.
How long do you leave it on for?
Shuts off after 10 minutes.
Right. Quite a long time.
My dog, I don't know whether it must emit some kind of high frequency noise or it's just that I look like I'm a psycho.
Probably.
The dog, as soon as I now pick it up off the floor, he runs.
Done.
Yeah.
Legging it.
So I do that. So cleanse, LED mask, retinoid.
Nice.
Yeah, that's it. Three Simple. Steps. 3 steps morning. It's like Clinique in the 90s, but yeah. Not shit.
Or the 60s.
No, come on. The 3 step was bad, wasn't
so
it?
So bad.
The soap.
Soap.
I mean, I love Clinique.
Clarifying lotion.
The clarifying lotion.
Yeah, I mean, it still sells. The soap, the clarifying lotion,
do
1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, and DDML. Dramatically different moisturising lotion.
Wasn't into
lotion.
That. I wasn't into any of those steps.
No.
However, I mean, like, if you could change the 3 steps now and do...
Yeah.
Take the day off.
Mm-hmm.
Any of the serums, which will
take the day off, or an acid and moisturiser.
And any of the moisturisers, yeah. That would be 3 steps.
If your bathroom is on fire, it's the one product you're going to save.
No, it's have a job because it's all tiled.
Oh, for God's sake.
But, okay.
You don't have to be so literal.
Well, I was just trying to imagine how that would work.
Good to know tiles can't go on fire.
I've got a stack of magazines, though, so they're
okay, great. So let's assume that magazines have gone up in flames.
Yes.
Your bathroom cabinet's on fire. What are you saving?
What, one product?
Yep.
Oh, this was going to be my question for you for the thing
later. You can ask me later.
Okay, fine. All right. As in one category or one actual
product? No, one actual thing.
Oh, for God's sake.
It doesn't have to be skin. It can be anything that's in there. What else is in there?
So I've got this. Oh, I'm blushing even thinking about this. Hold on.
Oh, God.
I've got this oil spray, right? And it's called, it's from Maui Skin Rituals.
Yeah.
Right? And it's called something like Sacred.
Not Sacred Fanny, or just, it's along those lines.
It should be called Sacred Fanny, right?
Okay.
Because if I ever want it, if I spray on a bit, he doesn't know this.
Yeah, of course.
If I spray on a bit
we
of
all
this
have
stuff,
our secrets.
It works every single time, this stuff.
Really? It's we'll like, put a link, everyone. Don't worry.
It smells
we'll put a link.
Of
oh, everyone's
of...
paying attention now.
Okay. It's called Maui Sacred Something.
Something spray.
Sacred Union?
Sacred Union! Sacred
no
Union.
No way.
Does what it says on the tin.
Okay, right? This is. I just want you to make sure that you're looking on Ruth's face when I tell her that you do know that my son Max edits these videos.
Oh, Max, I'm so sorry. He'll be all right.
He'll be like...
He's heard me say worse.
He probably
fair.
Has heard you say worse
pulse
for a long
points.
Time.
Points. Seeing that Max is going
pulse
to edit...
Pulse points.
I'm just going to say
so you don't actually
points.
Go, shh.
No!
Okay.
I'd be too scared of getting cystitis from
well,
it.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't want to put anything directly
so you'd
on
save
there.
The Sacred Union spray.
I would say that.
Because then if the house is on fire, at least you can have a shag around the back.
As it burns. Oh my God, what an image.
Okay, this is going swimmingly. What is your buy it for life product? But I think you've just answered that. Buy it for life product.
Oh, okay.
What do you buy you never without?
Philip Kingsley Flaky Itchy Scalp Shampoo and
okay,
Conditioner.
Okay, we're right back down to earth with a bang now because there's nothing sexy about that.
No.
Okay, great.
Well, I don't know. Mm. They sent me, when I was doing something for them last year, a scalp camera. Really, really.
No,
so you
don't
put it
do
through.
It.
Oh my God, it was amazing. Ooh. The difference between having, I mean, to be honest, you could just wash your hair and it would, you know, fair. Do the same thing. It's just having flakes and then it being clean. But it's one of the only, when I was in the shower the other day, I was thinking to myself, you know, when, do you formulate posts in the shower and little catchphrases and stuff?
Catchphrases and
yeah.
More product. More like, oh, I should do that. Oh, I'll do this today.
Oh, no. I
oh,
think
I should text Liv about blah,
I think
blah,
of
blah,
complete
blah.
Sentences that I'm then going to write into posts and
oh,
stuff.
Oh, no.
I have to come straight out and then
but
I'm
onto my
phone.
But you're a writer.
Yeah, so I things, ideas come to me. And I was using that shampoo and conditioner. And then in my head I was saying... You know, I will buy this until my dying day, unless I was thinking of all these different sentences
quite
that I would
dramatic
put into the post. Oh yeah, okay. It was quite dramatic, but it's one of the only. It's just I go back to it again and again and again. I used to have a really bad scalp when I was modelling, and I remember a hairdresser saying to me, because there was just so much product build up all
course.
The time.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was something in certain dry shampoos as well that just, I mean, still does in some of them, just makes my scalp just flare. And go really sore and really itchy. And this hairdresser said, you need the clearest shampoo you can find. And then he recommended a couple. And I think that's always been the thing for me is finding something that, oh my God, this has gone really boring, hasn't it?
Well, people who want to know about good shampoos and a flaky scalp, we're sorted. I feel like I know the answer to the next one too.
Yeah, go on then.
But
I
think
can think
it might
a different product for each, to be quite honest.
What is your favourite smell of a product? But I think that might be Rich's favourite smell of a product without him knowing.
L'Occitane, you know, the almond range.
Yeah.
But not the shower gel. For some reason, the shower gel always smells different to me.
It's also, you could
oil.
Kill yourself with that shower gel. I've had many a slip.
Over.
Yeah.
Many a slip.
Many a slip. No, I've got the tiny little pot of the body lotion on today. Love, very nice. Good choice.
And I like the packaging. It all feels very old school French, doesn't it?
It really just does. Gorgeous. Beautiful.
Yeah.
They're also onto a winner because they own Sol de Janeiro, so they are raking it in.
And who else do they own that I found out the other
Elemis.
Day? Elemis.
Mm. Cha-ching.
Yeah.
Big
yeah.
Cha-chings all round. Okay, next question. Focus. What is your favourite self-care activity?
Keep it clean.
I mean, when you say activity, where does my mind go to?
How do you relax? Like, I get on the sofa, fire on the sofa with a blanket, watch telly.
Yeah.
Don't even know if I've got the effort to drink a brew at that point. I'm just like...
My favourite thing that just makes me so happy is knowing that I'm going to be at home for at least a week stretch in front of me.
Oh, nice. I never get that.
Because then I'm in the routine with the kids, and then I'm in my routine with Rich. We cook, we get our plates, we sit in front of the TV.
You do your hour.
We do our hour, connecting.
Do you ever watch a film?
Sometimes.
Like, what if it's longer than an hour?
But 2 hours. I mean, I'm really pushing it. If he ever says a film and it's a weeknight, I'm like, you do realise it's 8:30. And that's not going to finish for at least 2 hours.
So when would you binge watch something then?
Never.
You don't binge anything.
Because I've always got a book on the go. So in the back of my head, I cannot wait to
get in bed.
Get into bed. So I scroll the internet while I've got the LED mask on, which is probably going to eventually make me go blind.
Probably, yeah. Great.
But I've got those little goggle things that you stick through.
Right.
So I look at my phone like it's through the goggles. I do my bit of scrolling, like thinking, God, I'm going to go blind. All the time having this underlying anxiety that the LED lights are somehow, you know, lasering.
So it's really relaxing, basically.
It's really relaxing. And then I finish off all my stories or whatever I've got to do for that night, put my phone down, and then I read, and then I read until I go to sleep.
Wow. Sounds...
And that is that self-care?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just love being at home, though.
Yeah.
That's my thing. Just for
if
me,
we ever leave, we're
like,
we're leaving the house. Okay.
Yeah, same. This is novel.
Makeup, just to touch on. Because you do like doing your little, you know, routines on Insta.
Do you think, though, it's always the same makeup, though, isn't it? I very rarely deviate from my look. If you look at somebody like...
I don't think anyone deviates from their look at our
Case Jane Hughes.
But she's a makeup artist.
I know.
It's different.
When you know,
Case Jane Hughes does things with the brushes I don't think Picasso could do. When she goes, she'll just put this hideous stripe of something horrible on her face and then she'll get a brush and go, vroom, and
know,
she looks like
looks
a model.
Amazing.
Piss off. Can't be doing with it. Get some on earth, frankly.
And Sam
she's
and
too
Nick,
talented.
And, you know,
all
you
of them. All of them.
I know. And they do all these different looks.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, God, I should, you know, if I'm going to do makeup routines,
you keep
I should
it
be
real.
Changing up a bit. But I feel like I do that. I do keep it real.
If you can only wear one item of makeup for the rest of your life, what's it going to be? Like, mine has to be blusher, which you found out, sadly, to your...
However, have you ever tried... Yeah, I know. I just did my makeup and I needed to blend out my makeup and I
wasn't
Caroline,
in the room and Ruth said, can I
use your big brush?
And I said, yeah.
For some reason, I thought it would be just without product, but it was preloaded with about 5,000 applications of really pigmented, bright... pink blusher.
I'm a northern nan, what do you expect?
So, right, but what would it look like if you did no other makeup? This is what I think people don't think
through. If I didn't put any blusher on?
No. So people do this question, they go, well, yeah, I'd just do, I don't know, eyebrows, right? How would
your
face
look? You'd look a freak if you only did
eyebrows. If you did nothing else and just your eyebrows, or nothing else and just blush. Have you thought this through?
All right, then mascara.
Mm. So mine would be a toss-up between mascara and... just something like the Vive Complexion Balm. Lovely
Skin Nova.
Because let's face it, you wouldn't... If you picked foundation...
Why'd you have to be... This is why are you like this?
What do you mean?
Why can't you just answer the fucking question?
Oh, sorry.
Why are you like this?
Sorry.
You have to go down this whole tangent of intelligent thought. It's a podcast asking you about your favourite makeup item. Just answer the fucking question.
Do you know, I feel like I owe it to people. I owe it to people to have thought about it carefully, though. Do you know what I mean? I don't want them rushing out and going, oh, I'll just go and buy a blusher.
A loaded blusher brush. That's not going to happen.
And they'll go around with no makeup on.
Okay, if your makeup bag smashed on the floor, what would you be most gutted about breaking? And you can't say, well, my lipstick wouldn't break. Just work with me here, Miss Analytical. You were going to say that when you were going to say, well, I'd still have all my blushes.
Oh, I was thinking, what would break? None of it. I mean, it'd be cushioned.
Can you see what it's like trying to be our friend? Can you see what it's like trying to have any kind of conversation whatsoever? It's just like, well, no, but that wouldn't happen because in 1832...
I do hate this question, though, because it all works in tandem, doesn't it? If you just saved one thing...
So you're going to save your makeup bag. Save your makeup bag. There you go. No one's ever said that. I'd save my makeup bag. I've taken care of it for you now. She can't even answer yes to that. Do you see what I mean? You know, are you constipated or what? What is going on?
I was really thinking. Do you know what my most used makeup product is, I reckon?
Steady, we might get an answer. Go on.
The Vive Eye Wand in either mahogany or coffee. So I've got on now just to do a little... Since my eyes have started going in the downwards direction, drooping, you might call it, I find that I can cheat them, right, by applying the darkness, blending it out, but cheating it upwards at an angle. And it just about creates an optical illusion that counteracts.
Nice. Lucky you, I can't do that at my age. I've got to get surgery. They're hanging off. Hanging by a thread. Right, let's just wrap this up. I think what's interesting is if people like this lot are going, I can't understand anything that's happened here. No one's going to listen to this. But if you remember our very first YouTube video
together. I feel it's quite disordered.
Yeah, but that's us.
Okay, fine.
But I've had so many requests. When people say, oh, you're doing second episode, you know, second season of the pod, can you and Ruth please film another YouTube video like you used to when you pulled a pair of fucking high heels and a candle out of your handbag? And just put them down as if it was just perfectly normal for that to happen.
Did you see that video the other day? And this guy on the radio is going through his, I think, his co-host bag, and he's just crying with laughter. And then he
yes,
pulls
the avocado.
Out half an avocado.
Half an avocado. That would be you.
I properly laughed.
That would be you. And I pulled out a bag of £60 worth of change because I was using meters at the time because there was no apps on phones. And you were like, "This is a fucking weapon," because it was literally pound coins.
Oh, yeah, you could put it in a sock.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Okay, Ruth.
I feel like no one's going to have any context to me, though, if they don't know me.
Okay, right? So describe yourself in five sentences.
Oh, no! Ruth Crilly is a British veteran model, writer.
We didn't even talk about...
Times best-selling author.
We didn't even talk about, like, the photographers. We've worked with all of them.
Prolific,
all your shoots.
Prolific blogger.
Prolific blogger and writer.
Beauty insider.
Sunday Times best-selling author.
And mother.
No one cares.
I feel like it's the least interesting thing about
me. No, it's
me.
Really not, because your kids are immense.
Well, no one wants to hear about other people's kids.
No. I know for a fact, when I get the phone out, I can feel people around me groan, knowing they're going to have to look at my grandchildren. I can feel them
go... Because I do. I do, actually. But they're only selected people.
Only selected people. I do try and wind my neck in. I don't go to people on the tube. Oh, do you want to see my grandkids? But, you know.
But it's when people you don't know very well... Then they start doing it and you think...
I don't care.
Zero interest.
Yeah, your kids are ugly.
I've forgotten their names and it was only 10 seconds
ago. Your kids are ugly. Like, you shouldn't have bred.
My
like
God, why do you have to take it one step further?
Because I know it makes you go outraged and it's
I
good
know,
for the visuals.
I would never think that. You're so
yes,
mean.
You liar. You absolute... Don't you dare sit there and say, we have never discussed how unattractive other people's kids are.
What? I've never discussed that. I feel like children grow into their faces.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Do you have a burning question for me? I feel like you could get your revenge if you really thought about it.
Right, do you know what? I was going to ask you a serious question.
Oh, no.
But this takes us off on a real tangent, though.
Okay, thank God that hasn't happened before.
Right. If you didn't want to have any kind of injectables or aesthetic treatments, what's the best thing you can do for... Oh, I can see these lines starting to come on my lips now. What can I put on that?
Retinoids.
Yeah, do that already.
Retinoids.
There's no intensive...
Like the zip halo. You could try and keep that round there.
Okay.
But
have you seen that thing that people put in their mouth and then it's like a giant pair of lips on top?
You could try. I mean, they're trying to rejuvenate, but ultimately, if you have spent 40-ish years talking, smoking, which you did for a long time, how long did you smoke for?
10 years.
Well, that's not that bad.
That's what it is.
Yeah, because I don't really have those, but I've never smoked. Mm-hmm. And I spend so much time talking. I feel like when people go, "Oh, do you do face yoga?" I'm like, "No, I just nag."
Sucking cocks. Do not put that in.
So that was your burning question, yes?
No. If you were going on a desert island,
okay,
and you can only take one skincare product, I've thought this through so much to various scenarios. I just want to know if you're on the same wavelength. What product would you take? There's no shade. But you're surrounded by seawater. There's maybe a freshwater spring.
Like.
And there is a coconut tree. This is very important that you know this. Because I've thought all this out. I'm so proud of myself. Last night, I was going to sleep. I was thinking about my burning question.
Right.
And I thought about a whole skincare routine I could design using nature. But there would be only one thing I'd need to take.
I'd take you then.
Okay, tell me though. See if you can get through my conundrum.
I wouldn't take an SPF.
Why?
Because I'm going to die. I've got no food. What's the point?
It's coconut tree.
How long do you think coconut water can sustain you? How many biohackers are you following?
The flesh of the coconut. Fish from the sea.
I'm not fishing. Sorry. How are you going to eat it? Raw?
Yeah.
Come on.
You know sushi.
Okay. I would take some kind of a balm that I could use to wash the salt water off my face, but also to nourish it afterwards when it's dried out from the salt water.
Wasted product.
Oh, God.
Coconut oil. Nature's cleanser.
Right.
So you don't need to take your balm. Go on, you've got a free.
Okay, but how are you going to extract the oil, Ruth?
Sharp stick.
Okay. Got a Bunsen burner anywhere or any kind of heat or?
The sun.
Okay.
A magnifying
glass. Because at the moment you've got coconut.
Oh, balls. Look, you don't have to take it so literally. Oh. For God's
Pot,
sake.
Pot, kettle, big fucking black. I'm sorry.
Okay, all right.
So what would you take?
SPF.
You liar.
Because it's the only thing I can't cover with everything else. Only for my face. So my body would be burnished. I'd be like Giselle by the time I got back.
With a white face.
With a white face, but I can do some tanning drops. Oh, tanning drops. Good one to take.
Yeah, because you really need tanning drops on a desert island.
Can you imagine if that's what
Jesus Christ, I need
take.
A break. I'm absolutely exhausted. Thanks for joining us, Ruth.
That's all right.
Thanks for
having
me. Your book is available
in
now.
In hardback, ebook, and audiobook from all good booksellers.
All good booksellers.
Yeah.
How Not to Be a Supermodel. And when's the paper back out?
Oh, God, like
next year.
Next year sometime, yeah.
And where can people find you?
They can find me at Ruth Crilly on Instagram and on Substack, A Model Recommends. Brought back the old
AMR.
The AMR brand name.
Or in your bathroom spraying Sacred Union on your vajay. You can hear much more from our chat this Wednesday in our listeners' questions episode, so make sure you tune in. Send your questions for me and my guest to answer to pod@carolinehirons.com. Until then, I'm glad we had this chat. New episodes are available every Monday and Wednesday. Follow or subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Glad We Had This Chat is produced by Wall to Wall Media.